Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we've got some exciting things about how to train your dog to become a therapy or service dog. As many of you know, we have been taking America by storm and a lot of countries in Europe with our program, not only in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, but also with our therapeutic facilitation and behavioral intervention training that we are doing all over the country in special, wonderful schools for either special needs children or district schools. So I want to talk a little bit about that and how do you choose the right dog for the job that you want him to do. Another great thing is, of course, we've got my new book out. The ebook will be available. The hard copy is out now. And we will definitely do that, as well as taking orders for the new Wyatt stuffed animal. It is just so cute. You're just going to love it. And it actually is going to be out available by around November. And everyone can pre-order, so we'll be putting that on our website as well. So let's talk dog today. Let's talk about why we do what we do and why dogs do what dogs do. Well, when you go to look for a dog, don't fall in love with your eyes. Fall in love with your brain. Use your brain. Don't walk into a dog like we were talking about some awesome dogs with Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue, of course, last week. Well, we want to discuss about what are the needs of the dog. I don't mean food, water, shelter, well, clothing, if some of you guys dress your dogs up like I do, but the real things that what do we need from that dog and what is that relationship going to be telling us? Main thing is think about what you're going to be doing with that dog. So when I look for a dog that's going to be trained to be a service dog for a special needs child or a veteran with PTSD, as I've been doing for many more years than I'd like to admit, but since 1988, is we want to make sure that when we're working with any dog or any animal, that we look at the purpose, we look at the need we have to fulfill. Now, I know there are people out there who are behaviorists or call themselves behaviorists or dog trainers or whatever, who are really interested and who some of them are wonderful and some of them think they know everything. And, my phrase, when you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. So I'm always learning, and I know more than, I'd say, put it up against almost anybody in the world. But the key is still, we have to know from the dog what the dog is capable of. So can every single dog in the entire world be rehabilitated and to be in service dog for an autistic child? Well, of course not. That's ridiculous. Just like not every child is going to be capable of being the president of the United States or of being an Olympic athlete or of doing a job like an assembly job. Everyone's different, and everyone has different talents and abilities and skills and likes and dislikes. So the worst thing is when I see somebody who's a trainer or who claims to be a trainer who is really trying to kind of do a one-size-fits-all. Yes, I can train your, your whatever it is, let's say your beagle. I can train your beagle to be a physical support dog. Unless it's like the world's biggest beagle, no, it's not really the right dog for the job. Or, you need to fly a lot and you need a diabetic alert dog. I'm going to go get you either a Great Dane or an Irish Wolfhound or a 250-pound English Mastiff. Maybe not the best dog. So look at the purpose. And I know it seems so ridiculous, but I have had horses since I'm a teenager, and I have upward of 30-something horses right now. I don't even know. I don't have a count. But I breed Lipizzan horses, which are the ones that General Patton, George Patton, had rescued from the evils of Hitler during World War II in Austria. And many of these horses, I mean, they're brilliant. They kind of remind me of Rhodesian Ridgebacks other than their color. Very, very bright, very, very attentive to their rider or their owner. So they are wonderful horses for dressage because they're built for it. They're built for a certain type of riding. They're capable of everything, but you don't want to give them a job that is not within their skill set. They're relatively large-boned horses, and they're not excessively tall. So if you, let's say, wanted to go and have a polo pony, that might not be the best choice, because although, yes, they can do it, that's not really what they were made for. And how about if you want to race across fields and go as fast as the wind? Probably not going to pick a Welsh pony or a donkey. You would probably choose a thoroughbred or a nice Irish warmblood or a Danish horse, but you probably wouldn't be best advised to pick a miniature horse. So you've got to think about it. It's not just saying, oh, I want to take this dog and do this with it. You want to set the dog up for success. You don't want to have a dog or a horse or any animal or a child or any human at all who is going to be set up for failure before it even starts. So when you start out and you say, I have a great dog, or I want to get a dog to be a service dog for my child, or I want to get a dog to be a PTSD dog, it's not just about going to a shelter and saying, ooh, that's a pretty dog, and that'll look good on the website. It's about making sure that that's going to be a match, making sure that that dog's activity level, energy level, and basic temperament traits are going to fit with the person you're putting the dog with. So let's say you take someone like a child with autism. You do not want a high-action dog if the child is very low-key. Yes, you want a dog that's going to be a little more personable if the child has lacking in social skills and doesn't socialize well with other people and give eye contact. But, of course, you really don't want to take a dog who's going to be, you know, a high-energy dog, because the child's energy is already going to be excitable. And you don't want the dog to key off of that child's energy. And maybe when the child gets anxious or nervous or starts running around, now the dog starts nipping, like you take like a herding breed, like an Australian Shepherd or something. And there can be good Aussies, but they're very high-energy dogs. You don't stick them in with someone who's a shut-in. You don't stick them in with a child who's special needs when the dog is going to want to nip at their heels or the dog is going to need activity. So you've got to really think with your brain. It's the same thing as choosing a husband or a wife or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or just friend. You want to choose an animal that is going to complement your lifestyle, not one that's going to be like, oh, yeah, I want to get a really high-energy dog so I can jog with it. And you're going through a jogging fad, and you jog for 3 weeks, and you can't keep it up anymore because you hurt your knee or you just weren't built for it. And now you've got a really high-energy dog that needs that exercise, but you can't give it to him anymore. So, of course, what's going to happen? Oh, he's got too much energy. Let's give him up, or let's dump him in a shelter, or let's give him to a rescue because he's not right for us. Well, you set yourself up and the dog up for failure because you've already, before you started, managed to set the dog up to fail because it's the wrong dog for the job. So you want to look at things and say, hey, what kind of lifestyle do I have? Am I sedentary? Would I like a dog that, you know, have a little energy if I do want to go jogging, but, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to be an Olympic athlete that's going to be running around like a crazy man in case I'm not able to, you know, to do those things anymore and you know, expel some of and expend some of the dog's energy. You really need to listen and think. Think. We learn by listening, not by talking. We learn by observing, not by lecturing. So, you know, I always joke that I spent my first X number of years in learning everything I can know, and I still have certainly more to go, but I'm going to spend my next equal amount of years trying to teach everything I know. And by the time I've learned as much as I think I can know, I'm going to keep learning more, and then I can keep teaching more. So the knowledge will continue. Please stay with me, because we are going to talk about a lot of really important aspects of getting a dog in just a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, I want to talk about a couple of specifics, and one of the dogs is actually not a Merlin's Kids or a United Canine Professionals dog, but we did get a phone call from a lovely, lovely lady who had paid, I believe, $15,000 for a service dog for her child. And the problem is that when her child would have a meltdown, and it was a mix of, I think, a golden and a lab, maybe. It's hard to tell. It was just a, you know, really cute little mutt. The problem is when her son, who could be very reactive, because he's autistic, would become reactive, the dog would run away and didn't want to be near him. So instead of hopefully getting the bonding that she was looking for, the dog actually became a detriment because the dog would run off fearful. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not really what the child needed to do, you know, to have a dog who's afraid. So it actually hampered the child. So this lady, lovely, like I said, just very sweet, decided that she was going to reach out to me and to Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals to retrain the dog. Well, we evaluated the dog, and it was a very nice, sweet dog. And if somebody didn't understand what they needed, you could think like, oh, yeah, he's a lab golden mix, which, you know, typically you'd say, oh, that would be a great dog. But this is not the right dog. So we declined the training. They've only had the dog for a few weeks, so I did suggest that they continue it on a little bit and just see, and I gave her some things to work on. But honestly, after meeting the dog, it's just not a service dog quality dog. It's probably a very good pet that could be a nice dog, you know, that can you know, be social with other dogs, and you know, but it's not a service dog. What does it take to be a service dog? Well, stop falling in love with looking at things and saying, oh, look how cute it is. And I'm a sucker for that, too. I mean, we all are. I mean, all of us were dog lovers. How can you not be a sucker for sad eyes and droopy ears? You just, I mean, like a beagle or any of the hounds, they're just pathetic. I mean, they're so cute. So, you know, one of the things is try to figure out what, like we were talking about earlier, what you're going to do. Where are you planning to live? Do you live in an apartment? Do you live in a house? Are you going to be moving? Are you going to be having more children? Do you have younger siblings that might potentially, you know, cause the dog to be confused as to who or whom he is supposed to be protecting? So you've got to really speak with someone, as my good friend Temple Grandin always says, you have to speak with someone who has pure motivations at heart. So pretty much anybody who is going to be making money off of you on a service dog or looking for glory or looking for whatever people look for and making money or just somehow getting some kind of fame that they're looking for, all of those people don't have the right motivations, and Temple has said that a number of times, and I appreciate that she feels that I do have that ability to be objective. And not every child that we work with at Merlin's Kids winds up with a service dog. Not every child should have a service dog, but certainly many of them are great candidates. So then we turn into, you know, it costs us between $8,000 and $10,000 because we don't just grab a dog out of the shelter and it costs us $50 adoption fee. We spend up to a year rehabilitating any behavioral issues and then training the dog specifically for the needs of each individual child. So if you're purchasing a dog from a breeder, that's great because that's always a known quantity. I mean, yes, certainly there are times when, of course, you might not have exactly what you wanted, but you get a pretty good general idea when you have a good breeder who is a show breeder. Like I have a beautiful litter of Rhodesian Ridgebacks right now. I have 30-some-odd people on the list already. There's one puppy. It's just a very special puppy that I'm going to be pulling out to be a service dog for a very high-profile case right now. But I'm also going to be, there's one puppy that he's just, it's just a very special little dog. There's a boy and a little girl. And I really want them to be service dogs or to turn into something special because they're just neat dogs. So I have, let's say, about 12 or 13 families who are really looking right now, want one of my puppies, will buy them right now. But I just don't think that these dogs, these two, should just be going to be pets. They're just really neat. They could be service dogs, in-school service dogs, facility dogs, institutional service dogs for multiple children. They're just really, really neat dogs. So as a breeder, I don't mind. I've got a ton of dogs. I love my babies, and I snuggle with them, and they're the best. They're my life. But I make sure that I place each dog according to what I think that dog's natural ability is, temperament, and just the way the dog acts. You know, if is the dog more comfortable in a city? Is the dog more comfortable in a more rural environment? And that's where a breeder, of a legitimate breeder of purebred dogs that are show dogs typically, because really if you're not showing and you're not trying to have these dogs held to some standard of temperament, movement, beauty, and longevity, then, you know, you're really looking at somebody who's breeding dogs for money. And anytime you start doing anything for money, that's not a pure motivation. That's not a pure reason for doing something. So if you were making $25,000 or $30,000 and you felt that a child was not going to be a good candidate for a service dog, and the family had the money and was willing to pay that, you might say, oh, yeah, I think we can make it work. We'll definitely get your child a $30,000 service dog, give us our money, and then they will train a dog for you, and it'll take you up to 3 to 5 years after you pay the money for them to, you know, train a dog. That's assuming that they know what to do. There certainly are several very, very good agencies. I've seen some very good service dogs out there that were provided by different agencies. No, I will not recommend them because seeing one or two good dogs from an agency doesn't mean that every dog will be good. I don't know how their business practices are and all that. But at least from a professional standpoint, there are some people who are doing a very nice job with dogs with nice temperaments that are really able to do things. And I commend them. And those are the people I want to work with and ally with. Unfortunately, you also have the people who are out there who are unscrupulous, who may be an obedience trainer. And listen, I have a lot of friends who are obedience trainers. Just got two referrals today from two obedience trainers. One was at one of those big box stores, Pet Something, I'm not going to mention, who the dog was in training, and the gentleman, the 20 or 19-year-old guy who was training these or teaching the obedience classes, said, you know, to the my client, you know, hey, I really just think I'm out of my element. I have never dealt with a dog with your kind of dog's energy and aggression. You really need a behaviorist here. Call this lady Janice. So I appreciate that, and I have respect for somebody. I don't not respect somebody or lose respect for somebody because the person doesn't know. Because, heck, I mean, if you ask me how to, you know, plaster a wall, I mean, I can do it. I know how to do it, but am I an expert? No. So I would rather have somebody who is an expert do that. I'm okay with computers. I'm not great. But if I needed to do some fancy computer programming, I wouldn't do it myself. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. and I don't have the expertise. Stick to your area of expertise. That's what I'm saying. Now, how do you get a new area of expertise? Read. And don't just read on the internet where you say, oh, like that looks good. Because as one of my clients that I just saw yesterday, three classes yesterday, she was awesome. She's like, I researched and I looked all over the place. And I found like six different websites that looked good, and they were all conflicting in information. So then we go to what feels right to you. If somebody's using shock collars and starts talking about dominance theories and, you know, oh, you've got to be the dog's pack leader and be the dominant one and flip the dog over, you're scaring me. And if you're using shock collars and prong collars, you're definitely scaring me. But if you're throwing cookies at a dog who's fearful or fear aggressive, trying to make him look at you, you don't understand. You're rewarding that fearful state of mind. So let's talk in our next segment about how we make sure that we pick the right dog and perhaps the right trainer. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And, of course, our weekly shout-out to the incredible, inimitable future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is one of our best behavioral experts at United Canine Professionals. And, Jody, I just wanted to give you a shout-out because you've been working, unfortunately, with two dogs that you really didn't know had such serious aggression issues, and you've gotten bitten quite a few times by them. But Jody is really incredible. If you are in the Ithaca, New York area, you definitely want to contact Jody. You can contact her through UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, and you can put a contact us form, and you can reach out to her. But sometimes what we do in life, and this is why I wanted to mention, sometimes people do things and they don't understand why they're doing it, and that can be very dangerous. So, for instance, let's say you're dealing with something, let's say you're pet sitting, or you're dealing with dog walking or grooming a dog, and all of a sudden you find out that that dog is pretty aggressive. Well, 9 times out of 10, the family will be like, oh yeah, we know he does that, we don't know how to fix it. Well, then you can call us at UnitedK9Professionals.com at 855-4-K9PROS, 855-4-K9PROS. And we can teach you, we can help you, we can fix the issues, and we can behaviorally rehabilitate your dog. You can think you know things, and you can try to give your dog medication, and you can think like a lot of the veterinary community does. They just medicate them, and that's not working. Well, there's nothing else we can do. Just, you know, throw them a cookie, try to bribe them to do it instead of actually teaching the dog in a language he understands. Well, what do you do when you rescue a dog and it turns out to be the wrong dog? Or what do you do when you're in a situation where, you're in danger? You're dealing with dogs that are, coming at you. Well, if there are dogs that, you have to deal with on a daily basis, I believe it's incumbent on those people to tell the owners that they have a dog with a potentially dangerous issue and make them aware of it, because a lot of people are completely in denial, especially when people are busy and hectic and there's a lot of turmoil. So people are generally in denial. When you tell somebody, hey, your dog bit me, I just got bitten in the hand pretty good today, but it was a great dog. It was just a great dog. So I was able to work around it and get the dog to come back to me, trust me, and we were mugging it up and kissing. So, it's not that it's a bad dog, but people get very, very offended, and they believe that, hey, no, you don't know what you're doing. You're not a doctor. You don't know what you're doing. You're only, 25 or whatever you come up with. Don't shoot the messenger. If you have an animal, whether you're, 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 or 100 years of age, don't think that because someone is young that they're inexperienced. Don't think that because somebody is old they are experienced, because I've seen a couple of local trainers who started in their 40s and 50s, and they tell people, oh, yeah, I've been doing this a long time, and you assume that, wow, they must be doing it since they're in their 20s or 30s, and meanwhile, they've just been doing it for a couple of months, and they don't even have any formal training. So behavior is a really strange thing, because when you have a dog with a behavioral issue, you're going to have everybody and their brother saying, oh, you should try a shock collar, you should try a clicker, you should try... You know what? Behavior is behavior. It's as if you had come home and found that your house had been ransacked and robbed and all your precious pictures and things you owned had been stolen or destroyed. And then I come in and I say, hey, doctor, sit down, calm down. Well, really, are you going to calm down? And you're probably not going to sit down either. So how does changing the body position change the behavior? It doesn't. And I came up with that concept a very long time ago, 15 years ago, where with horses as well, because people would say, oh, look, the horse's head is down, it's tucked under, and we call it being on the bit. Oh, he's on the bit. No, he's not. He looks like it. You think it is because you don't know what you don't know. You don't realize because you don't know enough to know how little you know. So with a horse, that means the head is kind of down and they look all pretty like we do in dressage, which is that fancy Olympic riding that the Spanish riding school does with Lipizzan. Well, I've been doing that kind of riding since I was 17, and I've been riding much longer than that. So I try to explain to people that even though you think it's this way, it's not. You've got to feel it, and one day when you're riding, probably 15 years or 10 years after you're riding, every day, you finally say, oh my gosh, I felt that. It felt amazing. It felt like the horse was not even there. It was like he disappeared. He was so soft, and I wasn't bouncing. Yes. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. That is your Christmas moment. That is your Christmas present. You were able to see how little you knew for those years before. And it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how many dogs you've had in your life. Oh, I've had dogs my whole life. I've trained 6 dogs. Well, that's great. I do that in a day. I've rehabilitated more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues, and it's probably way more than that because I do thousands of them a year because I don't have to spend time doing over and over, make it sit, make it sit, make it sit, make it sit. Now, can every dog be rehabilitated? Almost everyone. I've only had a few in my life that I couldn't, and 2 of them had brain inoperable fungal lesions in the brain. One had a brain tumor. And one was a German Shepherd that had what they called weak nerve, where neurologically this dog was just impaired and he had all kinds of behavioral issues, physical issues, physiological issues. So there are many times where we will refer to a licensed veterinarian, not somebody who's been doing research on one subject for a couple of years and thinks he's an expert, but I'm talking about people who have dedicated their lives to animals and who start young. People who, like Jody, who's been a vet tech since she's, I believe, 14 years old. So that she's already, even though she's pretty young still, she's got 9 years of experience already, which is more than most people have in their jobs until they're in their, you know, mid-30s. But people always look at things and they think they know better. And it's really sad because what winds up happening is many times is that because people push away and people go, oh, you don't know anything, or who are you to say that? Instead of saying, gee, you know, maybe you're right. Look, my dog really doesn't behave. It's like aggressive when I feed it, or it's, you know, reactive to people around. You know, I can't get a pet sitter to pet sit for this dog because it's so obnoxious. So, you know, yes, maybe you have a problem. It's okay to have a problem with your dog. It's okay to have a problem with you. But don't be in denial, because what's going to happen eventually is that dog is going to wind up euthanized because it's going to bite some kid or attack another dog, or it's going to hurt you or itself. So don't be stupid about it. Make sure that you, if somebody says it, even if somebody said to me, gee, Janice, you look tired, I don't say, oh, you're an idiot. I don't look tired. I feel great. I go look in the mirror and I say, do you think I look tired? Oh, thanks for helping me. Thank you for letting me know, because I want to be better. I want to be a better dog behaviorist. I want to be a better horse behaviorist. I want to breed better show dogs. I want to rescue more dogs. I want to rehabilitate more dogs. I want to be better and better and better every single day. I don't want to just rest on my laurels. Yeah, so I've rehabilitated, you know, tens of thousands of dogs and trained hundreds and hundreds of service dogs and, you know, done cancer screenings and cancer samples and, you know, in-school service dogs. And I do things nobody else does, but that doesn't mean I can't get better. And it's the same with you and your dog. So if you have a situation where you or your dog, somebody comments and says, hey, your dog's out of control, don't say, oh, you're an idiot. Say, gee, what makes you think that? What do you see? Help me to make my dog better and myself better. Don't fight the help. Don't take it personally. Don't think it's condescending or arrogant. Maybe somebody else has a better view because they're not emotionally involved. It's just like when we're with the wrong guy or the wrong girl and everyone says, you know, I'm really not nuts about your girlfriend or about your boyfriend. And we go, oh, well, he's the best. Well, you know, maybe they see things you don't see, and maybe you ought to be a little more objective. It might help you learn more and be a better whatever you're doing. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're talking about dogs. What a surprise. We're always talking about dogs. One of the things we're talking about is choosing the right dog and not being in denial about your dog with behavioral issues. Listen, it's not your fault if you adopt a dog who has behavioral issues or if you breed a dog who winds up having behavioral issues. But as a legitimate breeder, if you have a dog, which I've never had, fortunately, in 30 years of breeding Rhodesian Ridgebacks, I've never had an aggressive dog, which is great. Our dogs are, as a matter of fact, we always joke about it, it's like we just get better and better. My dogs are actually laying here, Wyatt to my left, Wispa to my right. They're sleeping as I broadcast from my home studio here in New Jersey. And what's really fun about it is I've got, oh my Lord, 7, 8, 9 dogs right here. You don't hear them, right? Well, if somebody knocks on my front door, you'll hear one or two of them bark, and then they'll all go back to sleep. Because they know I'm going to provide for them, I'm going to protect them, I'm going to care for them. But what do you do when you get that wrong dog, and how do you find that right dog? Well, the first thing is, as we talked about earlier, making sure that you look at the activity level and your lifestyle. This is all in my new book that will be out very, very shortly. I mean, it is out now, but the ebook will be available within the next couple of weeks. And we're also putting this in our program with our not only natural canine behavior rehabilitation, obviously, but as well as our facility dog and institutional service dog program and our cancer detection, because it's so important to find out what the dog is good at before you purchase or adopt a dog. And if you are going to adopt a dog, that's great, and we love you, but know what you're getting into. Don't choose a dog and you go, oh, he was, you know, he look how skinny and look how quiet he is. Well, he's quiet because he's skinny and malnourished, and 6 months later or 4 months later or 2 months later after the honeymoon period, that dog, when he's got energy, might not be the same dog. So, you know, you got to make sensible decisions in life, and one of them is making sure you get the right dog. So you walk into the shelter. You see, let's say, a pit bull, because I love pit bulls. And you see this dog, and he looks all abused, and he was attacked by other dogs. And, I mean, you're heartbroken. And he's supposedly very good with other dogs. You bring him home. He's really skinny. You get him home, and 2 months later, he starts going after your cat. 3 months later, he starts going after another dog. And 4 months later, he bites you. Where did you go wrong? Because you felt sorry for that dog, and you set him up for failure by not giving him a leader. Not a boss, not a dominant, not assertive, not aggressive. Just be his parent. Don't be his little brother. Don't be his buddy. That will come. But when you are truly a dog's leader and when you truly look out for your dog's welfare, your dog will see that you are taking care of him. You're providing for his needs. You're protecting him from danger. And if he does do something, whether it's a growl or a grumble or a posture or a nip or a bite, it doesn't matter. You're still going to correct it. So when you're looking at a shelter and all of a sudden you see a dog who's already got behavioral issues, don't try to evaluate him in the shelter. Unless it's a kill shelter and the dog is going to die the next day, try to take the dog out, ask the volunteers or ask the staff to bring that dog out, get him away from all that crazy frenetic energy, and get him away from there, get him outside in some other area, and start to try to bond with him. And then you can introduce one dog or two dogs. And then you can see how he is with food and with a bowl of food. And then you could come visit him again the next day. And you can build a rapport. And if you don't feel guilty, if he's not going to be the right dog for you at the beginning, he's probably not going to be the right dog for you at the end. Aggression is a very, very, very dangerous thing, especially if you have any children. And I know it seems really, really like stupid for me to have to say this, but I see it over and over again where people are getting the wrong kind of dogs because they feel sorry for them. So then you get your family bitten, you get in a lawsuit, you have the dog get hurt by another dog or hurt another dog, you've got thousands of dollars in vet bills for your dog, for the other dog, when you could have just taken the right dog, who was probably euthanized anyway. You could have gotten the right dog if you had used your brain and thought about what to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you should only take the perfect dog, and we love when you take the special needs dog, but then find a great behavioral expert like one of us at United Canine Professionals. We are all over the place. We're 37 states and 7 countries, and we are also looking for more people who share our views of you don't need to dominate the dog, and you don't need to use a shock collar, a prong collar, choker chains, yanking on dogs, kicking the dog, shooting them in the face with either air, compressed air, which is the meanest, worst thing I've ever seen. It's just barbaric. Or shaking penny cans at them, or throwing beanbag-shaped things at them from companies who come from Australia or from other areas of the world. You know, that's just stupid. How are you going to build trust with an animal when you're being mean to him and you're destroying the trust? You can't build a connection with an animal who doesn't trust you and respect you. That's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. So you want to build his trust, but you don't want to reward the bad behavior. So if a dog is becoming dog aggressive, don't bring cookies out and say, oh, well, I'll just give him a cookie when he looks at me after he's barking, growling at a dog, and I make, look at me, look at me. And now the dog looks at them, and you just rewarded the dog because he's still in a fearful or dominant or aggressive state of mind. So how did you change anything? You just rewarded that state of mind. And that's where I get phone calls where, oh, you know, we've had four other trainers, and we needed a behaviorist, and we had a behaviorist, but he used cookies. Well, guess what? It wasn't a behaviorist. I do not pretend to be an obedience trainer. I think it's wonderful for those people who have that kind of temperament that they can do the same thing repetitive over and over and over and over again to make a dog do something. But if you want your dog to sit, well, I don't care if my dog sits. I don't care if they lie down. I mean, eventually, if they get tired, they'll sit. And if they get real tired, they'll lie down. They know how to do it. But why do I care? All I care about is my dogs are social. They work around special needs children on a daily basis. And not just one dog. Like, I'm not a one-hit wonder like some people are. It's not one dog. I have many dogs, and they're all the best dogs in the world. And they can all work with kids that most of them have the ability with the cancer detection. But I know which dogs are best for which situations, not that any of them would do anything wrong, but I know which dogs belong, which dogs are going to love it, and which dogs are going to be like, eh, I don't mind doing it. So when you find a dog that loves something, for instance, loves playing Frisbee, and you say, wow, I want to do a fly ball dog or a Frisbee dog or disc dog, awesome, that's your dog. Because if he's happy in life and he's doing something he enjoys, he's going to be a happier dog. He's going to be a better balanced and more stable dog. If you have a dog who's, you know, you decide you're, like we talked about horses earlier, and you know, going to take this dog, and this dog is going to do whatever you want him to do, and, oh, okay, I want you to be a Frisbee dog, and the dog looks at you like, I really don't feel like chasing the ball. Well, that's not a good match. So don't try to pick a dog based on looks. Pick the dog based on the activity level of the dog. Talk to the people at the shelter, especially the no-kill shelters and rescues, like 11th Hour Rescue. Pet Rescue is good as well, but 11th Hour is my heart. We're working with a lot of rescues around the country. I'll be in Texas in a couple of weeks working with some dogs, and it's very interesting how some people seem to know where I am, even when I don't post it. But it will be interesting to see what happens when I'm in Texas, because I love it, and I have so many friends there. But when I go there, I will be bringing one or two of my dogs and doing service dog evaluations for some wonderful, wonderful people in desperate need of service dogs. We do it all for free. So if you're in that area, and if you have been one of the many people who has submitted an application to become one of our amazing experts, natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist experts or masters at United Canine Professionals, we will be in the Texas area, so if you're in any of the surrounding states, feel free to come by. We'll set up an interview for you so we can meet with you and we can explain our amazing program and also perhaps do an interview so you can join our team. We will be right back for our final segment. Do not go away.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today we are talking about choosing the right dog and making sure also you're choosing the right person to help you with that dog. So I wanted to talk briefly about our programs at United Canine Professionals. We've got just, oh my Lord, 150 applications. And we are calling for those of you, and we have a few of our viewers also and listeners who are always, you know, interested. And we do have applications from two of you. Just be happy to know that I need to speak with one of you. So make sure you keep in touch with me over the last couple of days and in the next few days. So one of the programs that we offer is natural canine behavior rehabilitation, and it's the foundation of everything we do. The reason we call it natural is because it's the way nature created it. We don't learn from, you know, oh, look, go get a clicker. Well, you know, the problem is, and I've done clicker training because I've done it for, you know, sometimes with agility, and I've done agility for many, many years, and it's fun. Clicker works great, but my dogs aren't going to go and attack somebody who's at the other end of the ring. Well, when you have a dog who is, you know, trying to attack somebody, it's aggressive, it's, you know, dominant, it's trying to bite people, it's, you know, pulling on the leash, it's jumping all over you, and it's being a general pain in the neck, sometimes a dangerous pain in the neck, you've got to first fix the behavioral issue. So that's why we do work with, we even work with pet communicators, but we work with people who are obedience trainers sometimes, and people who are, you know, into the different agility and other sports. And, you know, the most important thing is really to make sure that we work together to be able to save all these dogs. You can't knock everybody else. There are some great people out there, and there are some really inept people. There are some great doctors, and there are some terrible doctors. There are some great veterinarians, and there are some not-so-great veterinarians. There are some great dentists. There are some not-so-great dentists. There are some great restaurants. There are some not-so-great restaurants. But it doesn't mean we're going to tell you never to go to a restaurant, because when you find a good one, you stick with it. So what I got a lot recently is a lot of people who are obedience trainers or different types of sport training kind of dogs, even one who is a sporting dog, a German Shorthair Pointer, who has some aggression issues, and the husband wants to hunt with the dog, but the dog is aggressive, so he can't be off leash because it will go after the other dog. So we work at United Canine Professionals with the dogs who have behavioral issues. So once we rehabilitate those issues and the dog no longer has those issues, now they can go out. The family can really enjoy the dog. And now you can go do what you want it to do. Like I always say, I give you or we give you what you wanted, not what you got. And that's a really important concept. And, you know, I see a lot of times people taking my words and kind of like the Ben Franklin, and they're using them as their own. And, you know, that is just so flattering to me because I appreciate the fact that I'm able to enunciate things very clearly, and people tell me that all the time. I'm extremely passionate, and, you know, I really know what I'm doing. Well, the reason I know what I'm doing is because if I don't know something, I don't argue about it. If I don't answer somebody, it's because either I just have no clue what they're saying or they're completely wrong, and I don't want to waste my time on them. Or sometimes they just aren't worth my time. So when we go back and we talk about people who are saying, oh, your dog's out of control, and you say, hey, you know, listen, your dog seems like he's really anxious, don't tell people to stop or don't tell people shut up or just go away. Tell them, you know, say, hey, I appreciate that. Why do you think that? Tell me what my dog is doing. Be nice because they're trying to help. Many people are trying to help anyway. So it's not about you. It's about helping your dog, helping your dog's behavioral issues. So if somebody out there says, you know, I'd love to do this, you need to call our 800 number, 855-4-CANINE-PROS, or you might be interested in becoming a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist. You might be interested in learning how to train service dogs or cancer detection dogs or PTSD dogs, and really learning it. And we are very tough. You're going to get an education. It's not like something where you read 5 books and then you take an online open book test. Well, of course you're going to pass. All you have to do is look at it. And I was just speaking with one of our people who's starting in the next class, and she had actually taken another, it was just an online class. She said, yeah, you know, I read the books, and I was like, okay, I could have bought these books myself, and I took an online open book test. Well, of course you're going to pass. You know, it's just crazy. And how does reading a book have anything to do with you in real life trying to learn how to rehabilitate a dog? So, again, don't look for, you know, don't look for the quick thing. Look for the people who are interested in really training you right. And that's us at United Canine Professionals. We are really tough. You're going to have a lot of knowledge. You're going to have homework. You're going to be working with partners. And you're going to be making this into your life, into your career. You don't have to do it full-time, but a lot of our people do it full-time. But it is the most rewarding thing in the world. So when somebody says to you, hey, you know, my dog's got behavioral issues, you can say, I can fix that. Let me show you what to do. And we will be able to help them. That's how together we're going to be able to save 4 million euthanized shelter dogs every year. 4 million. Just think of that. 4 million dogs and you're dying. Because people gave them up because either people were breeding, you know, subpar dogs who were aggressive or weak or had some issues, or just because sometimes people are just stupid. And you know what Ron White says, you can't fix stupid. And it's really so true. So, you know, when you go out there and you say, you know, I want to learn how to do this, call us or go on to www.unitedk9professionals.com. Fill out an application for our upcoming class. We do 4 classes a year, but this next class is going to be awesome because it's a summer class, and we've got people from all over the world, as we normally do. It's just so, so exciting. And we have our national convention coming up in November, which is going to be really exciting. We'll have our people from Bulgaria and Mexico and hopefully Australia and hopefully Japan and hopefully our friend Vivian from France. And we will have all of these people from Alaska, from California, from Canada, from upstate New York, downstate New York, Florida, Missouri, Kansas, Texas, New Mexico, all these people all coming together because they love dogs and they know that we have the better way. Not that this is the only way, but when you have a dog with a behavioral issue, you can't change the body position and expect it to change anything in the dog's brain. The way that you change what's in the dog's brain is by changing what you do that's creating that fear, that anxiety, or that's allowing that in the dog. A lot of times when you rescue a dog, that dog already had those behavioral issues, and it wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault at all. But unfortunately, it becomes your job. It becomes your duty to fix that dog. We can help you. Call us. And we give free advice on that 855-4-K9-PROS. It's free advice. And if we can help you on the phone, we're thrilled because we don't want your dog to wind up back in a shelter or a rescue. And we don't want you to change your life so you start living your life around your dog's behavior. We want you to enjoy your dog, to be able to do what we get to do every day, taking our dogs with us all over, taking 2 dogs, 3 dogs, taking somebody else's dog and putting it in the back of our SUV, and allowing our dog to be with their dog because we know our dog is so stable that it doesn't matter how unstable the other dog is because our dog will make that dog stable. So, and we will make that dog stable. So I've really enjoyed talking with all of you today. As usual, it seems like time just flies when you're having fun. But we have a wonderful show next week. We are going to be speaking with the shelter personnel again. And we might even have a special guest. So we will be right back here next week, same time. Please stay tuned. And remember, 855-4-K9-PROS. We're starting our new class for service dog training, for cancer detection, and for natural canine behavior rehabilitation training. Thank you so much. Have a healthy, happy, wonderful week.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.